Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Jesus, His name is Jesus. him, that he can completely take over.
My surrender. Let me review where we're at, just in case you haven't been here. Jonah chapter 1, the word of the Lord comes to him, right? And he told him to what? Go and preach to the Ninevites, because their wickedness had come before him. But what happens? Jonah hated the Ninevites. Jonah had good reason to hate the Ninevites, and he runs from that call, right? Jonah found a ship going in the opposite direction. Jonah found a ship going away from God, and he got on it. In response, God sent a storm. Sometimes God sends storms, right? Sometimes. The sailors were freaked out. They found out it was because of Jonah. And Jonah told them, hey, throw me overboard, right? And all this will pass from you. So they did. And God provided Jonah with a great fish that swallowed him. While in that fish, he prayed, and God had mercy. And the fish was commanded to throw him up on shore. So last week he said he was right back to where he started, right? When he started to run from God's call, he was right back to where he was. And this time, though, he had a stink on him. He had a smell on him. Praise God, the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord came to him a second time, right? I am grateful because the word of the Lord has sometimes come to me a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a 20th time when I have been unfaithful. He is the God of another chance. This time, though, he went and proclaimed that word to those evil Ninevites. He wasn't happy about it, but he obeyed, and the Ninevites repented, they responded, they turned from their sin, and God relented on the punishment that he had planned for them. That's where we ended last week. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verses 1 and 2. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. He's mad, right? And he became angry. He's mad because God relented, because God did not punish them, destroy them. He prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. That's not how we normally picture God, is it? That's not how normally people see God. They see him as just this person that always wants to punish. But he is a gracious and compassionate God, and I hope you know that God today. So here's where the preacher delivers a message, right? Many people respond, and because of that, he's angry. We understand that, though. These Ninevites were evil. They skinned his fellow Israelites alive. They did horrible things to the Israelites. Probably people that he was close to. Probably people that he knew. They were brutal, horrible people, and he didn't want them to experience God's grace. I told you last week when 9/11 happened, right? There were a people group that I did not want to experience God's grace. I wanted the Lord to wipe those people out when I saw those people jumping from those buildings to their death. Right? Anger turned to hatred. When I saw people having their throats cut, when I saw people in cages being lit on fire, when I saw babies and women having horrible things done to them, anger turned to hatred. Right? I get where Jonah was at with this. To Jonah, God relenting, God not punishing these people seemed very wrong. He saw it coming, and he tried to do everything he could to stop it because he knew the character of God. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Isn't it awesome that God's character does not change, right? Like, God's character is not dependent on me and my failures, right? God doesn't change his character when I screw up. This is who God is. This is who God was. This is who God will be. Right? Till the end of time, this is who he is. We think that our actions determine who God is. But they don't. This is who he is. This is his character. Jonah knew this. Notice he's complaining about one of the most amazing attributes of God, right? He's mad because God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He is mad because God is a God who relents. Sometimes we forget where we come from, Christian. Sometimes we compare ourselves with the people on the other side, with other people, and we think we are good, right? My friends, as a pastor, there is nothing good in me. Nothing. There is nothing that I can point to for righteousness. They are filthy rags, right? We are not good. We sang a song last week that resonated with me, and it says, "A thousand times I've failed, and yet your mercy remains." The Bible says there are none that are good. None. There is only God's grace, and let us never forget that, right? We are all thankful, I hope, of God's mercy and his grace when it's applied to us. But sometimes we don't like it when it's applied to somebody else. We don't want it applied to somebody else, right? Sometimes when that happens, it seems wrong unless we have an accurate view of our own constant need for it. When that happens, we're grateful for it. We're grateful when we see it in another person, right? Jonah was so angry, though. He couldn't see it. As humans, I think that's normal. But my friends, we can't stay in that place, right? We can't stay thinking like that. We have to grow. Verse 3, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah, the prophet of God, says I'd rather be dead right now than live and see these people experiencing your compassion." My friends, some of you have experienced horrible things, right? And probably the last thing you would want for that person who did that to you would be for them to experience the grace of God. I get that. To Jonah's credit, God called him a second time to go and deliver the message to the people he hated, and he did it, right? He obeyed. And I think we can see from this that it is possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. And my friends, that is a tough place to live as a Christian. God calls us to be cheerful givers, right? You can be in a place where you do give, but it is not done cheerfully. That's a rough place to be. God can call you to forgive somebody, and you can say, "Yeah, I forgive that person," but your heart may not match those words. At a time in my life, I said I forgave someone, and yet I held on to so much anger for that person, towards that person. It would come out. I remember God checking me on that. And he said, "Do you remember that time that I forgave you, but I held on to my anger towards you, and I didn't want to have anything to do with you?" "No, Lord, I don't remember that." Some of you might be here today at church because you're being obedient, right? You're supposed to go to church, but you don't want to be here. That's a frustrating place to be when your heart is on a different page than what your actions are. I don't want you to live in that place. The only advice that I can give you is you need to die. You need to go to the cross You need to surrender everything and spend time at his feet. That's the place where your heart changes. Here's the formula, Romans 12, 1 through 2. I'm a math guy, I like formulas. Here it is. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, all right, you have to keep God's mercy. You have to keep the cross in your view. You have to remember the price that was paid for you while you were a sinner. He went to the cross, right? And then you have to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is what worship is. It's to lay everything that you want and everything else down and live for him. That's what worship is, more than words that come out of our mouth. It's when we die and we live for him, right? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. We can't keep on doing the things we're doing. How do we stop that? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're transformed when we spend time in his word daily. When we spend time at his feet continually, often, that's when our heart starts to change. Everybody knows you act like the people you're around. You pick up their characteristics. You pick up their mannerisms. You talk like them. You'll say things like them, right? And that's true of when you spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You start to pick up his heart for people. You start to pick up his mannerisms. He transforms your heart. It's possible. It's possible for that to happen if we look to the cross, if we worship him, if we surrender our lives to him, if we spend time in his word, but it won't happen if we don't. The story continues, Jonah 4, 4 through 5, but the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at the place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. There's the prophet who didn't want to obey God at first, then obeyed him, but with impure motives, right? He goes out and makes a place to see what's going to happen. He's in a place where he wants God to act how he wants God to act, right? I'm going to wait until God carries through with this punishment for these people, right? He's in a place where he thinks he knows what is best. He thinks he knows what God should do, and he isn't in a place where he's willing to trust God's will. I think this shows us that it's possible to claim God and yet live with our back to him, or live not trusting him. It's possible to claim to know God but think that we know better than him. That's the place where when God doesn't do what we think he should do, we get mad at him. We get angry with him. I spent some time this very weekend sitting in this place over something trivial. I was mad at God. Mad. And I said some things that were dumb. We all claim him as Lord, but sometimes we don't trust him. And we turn our back and either get mad at him or just do whatever we want to do. Are you doing what he's called you to do? Are you doing what he's called you to do? Or are you playing the game where you're not willing to do that thing because that might be scary or that might be costly or that might be uncomfortable, right? But I'll do this thing that I'm okay with. And I'll do it for you, Lord, and that'll be okay. That'll make up for this thing that I'm not doing that you've called me to do. That's a game we play because we don't trust him. It might be a good thing that we're doing, but it's not the thing that he's calling us to do. And in the process, we steer clear of him because we know we're out of his will. We know we're not doing what we should be doing. So I'm going to keep my distance to him, but I'm going to keep doing this nice thing, right? And hopefully God's okay with that. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved, right, will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's scary. Not everybody sitting in here today may enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Didn't we do all these things for you? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian with their mouth, not everyone who even does good things, right, will enter the kingdom. No, you have to know him, truly know him, and do his will. You can claim him, but still live with your back to him. And that's a frightening place to be. That's the scary news. The good news is that the only thing that you need to do is turn around if you're in that place. If you're living with your back to him, you're back to what he's called you to do, turn around, right, and embrace him. Why? Because the nature of God that never changes is that we serve a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, right? Turn while you can. Verse 6 through 8, then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about that plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and then the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. God provided a storm. God provided a fish, and now he provides a plant. Jonah is happy, right? Because he's shaded, he's comfortable. The plant benefits him. Life is all about him at this point. But God's about to teach him a lesson, right? God provides a plant, and then God provides a worm which chews the plant so that it withers. And then God provides a scorching east wind. And Jonah responds with a pity party, right? It's kind of the theme with him. Verse 3, he says, it's better for me to die than live when God shows compassion to these people that I hate, right? Here he grows faint, and he says it again, it'd be better for me to die. I want to say this guy's being an immature baby. I want to say that, but then I'm reminded about what we've been saying all throughout Jonah, right? Jonah is more mirror than window. In Jonah, we see ourselves, right? We throw tantrums when we don't get our way. At least I do. We throw tantrums when God doesn't act how we think he should. We praise him. We sing praises to him, right? But the next moment, we're turning our back on him, not trusting his will, not trusting his way. Oh, just let me die. Seems crazy, silly to get mad enough that you want to die because a plant died, right? But this is exactly what you and I do. We don't get our way in that little thing or with that thing that we really want, something small, or somebody offends us, right? What do? We might not say we want to die, but here's what we say. I quit. I quit this relationship. I quit this church. I quit this ministry, right? I'm gonna quit coming to church because of this thing, right? Do you know how many people I run into that used to go to church, but they got mad at somebody? And that person still goes there, so they don't want to go there. Sometimes that person doesn't even still go there, right? And I'll be like, that person doesn't even go there. But they're already in that place. We don't get our ways with something, we're going to quit on the ministry we serve in, right? We're going to quit on the ministry that God called us to over something trivial or of somebody that offends us or makes us mad. I quit. Ask my wife how many times I've said I want to quit the ministry. Man, that happens a lot in my life. I was, like I said, tempted to call Jonah a big baby, right? But I didn't want to put that label on him because that label belongs on me. Many times, and I think God's message for me today is you're being childish like Jonah in those instances. I've been trying to practice something. It's a phrase. The phrase is it really that big of a deal? That's my mantra during the season that I'm in. Don't like something somebody's doing or did? Is it that big of a deal? In the grand scheme of things, in the view of the mission we're called to, is it that big of a deal? Is the slight I took worth ending a friendship? Or is the perceived slight I took worth abandoning my call from God? No. Jonah 4, 9 through 11, but God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Somebody needs to hear that today. You're mad about the plant, right? It is, he said. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. I'm so angry, I'm going to quit. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? My friends, we got to see the big picture. We've got to have that in mind. And I think that's the point that God's trying to make to Jonah. Jonah, you got mad enough that you wanted to die over a plant dying. And yet here's this city with 120,000 people in it that are lost, right? They don't know their right hand from their left. And you're okay with them all dying. That question from God is how the story of Jonah ends. We don't know how Jonah responds. I wonder how he did to that question that God asked him, right? But that's the point. Because remember, this is not about a window. This is about a mirror. It doesn't matter how he responds. It matters how we respond today. So the important question for us is, how will we respond? If you're a part of a ministry, one day you'll want to quit. It's inevitable. If you're a part of a church, one day you'll want to quit. And I want you on that day to picture a plant in one hand and a city in the other hand. And make your decision based on that. Yeah, your plant died. Yeah, you were uncomfortable. Yeah, you didn't get your way. Yeah, somebody did something to you, right? But how does that compare with the mission that God called you to? How does it compare to that? Church is messy. We say that in here a lot. Tell that to the van drivers, right? First time I told the van drivers a story, the first time I drove the church van, I was taking kids home and there were two sisters. One sister had asthma, and a lot of times she'd get run around in church and she'd barf. She'd just throw up. Happened often. Well, the first night that I drove, I didn't know that the children's class got done early. It might have been Eddie and Jeremy, I don't know. But they let these girls run around. So they were playing games. I got all the kids and started to take them home, and sure enough, that girl threw up right in the van. And then it was a chain reaction, right? Her sister threw up. The boy next to them threw up. And I'm just driving literally with my head out the window, trying not to smell that and throw up myself, right? I got home and took the van back, right? And I'm cleaning it up. I'm hosing it out. And I'm thinking, I don't have time for this. Why did the children's teacher let them play? They knew this girl and how she is, right? First time driving the van. I had times after that I would go to houses and those kids were not ready and I'd have to sit there or they wouldn't even come out. I had times that I'd go to the houses and I would do just that, right? And nobody would come out. And then I'd get back to church and there would be a message, hey, we're ready now. Can you come back and pick me up? Sometimes the kids were rowdy. They made messes. They were ungrateful. Sometimes I had to make 2 trips. Sometimes I had to make 3 trips because there were so many kids that were coming. Why couldn't their parents take them? Clean up vomit in one hand, right? Be inconvenienced versus having a kid hear the gospel. I quit? Really? I quit? No. My call, my ministry, right? Hang on to that. My friends, every ministry that I've ever been a part of, I've wanted to quit. You will do that, right? The mission is not easy, but when you realize what's at stake, it helps you get past the vomit. It helps you get past the little things that really aren't big things. Is it really that big of a deal? Right? Is it really that big of a deal? Luke 9:23, this is what he said to them all. Sending them out in ministry. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and pick up their cross daily and follow me. Are you picking up your cross? Or are you hanging on to all the inconveniences? Church is messy. It's painful. But we've experienced a compassionate God who is slow to anger and abounding in grace. That is what we've experienced. And we get to be ambassadors of that grace. We get to tell other people about it. We get to be a part of ministries that tell little kids who vomit in vans that there's a God who loves them. There's a God who died for them. There's a God who wants a relationship with them. Right? Jonah cried over a plant, but he wouldn't cry over an entire city of people that didn't know the Lord. My friends, let that not be us. Poor me, just let me die. I quit. Let that not be us. There's always a boat going in the opposite direction, away from God, away from where God has called you to go. There's always going to be a reason to jump on it. Somebody will do something to you. But listen to this, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. That's a beautiful thing. Right? When we allow love to cover over those other things, right? To those other things that our brother and sisters did to us. Let us be like that. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your call. Father, let us not shrink back from it. Let us not give up on it. Father, I know that there are things that happen that drive us crazy. There are things that we don't like, Lord, but would you help us to examine those things compared to your call, compared to your ministry, compared to people coming to know you? Father, would you put everything in the perspective that we need to have? Would you give us a heart that goes after people, that loves people? No matter what, and would you help us to pick up our cross daily, daily, and surrender our lives to you and what you have for us. Father, we just ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.